and those that are weaker in faith.
Verse 2, Paul places two particular beliefs, or I'll use the word opinions, before the reader. In verse 2, he says, one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. So the question is, which one's right? Sometimes people put the question that way. It has to be one or the other. Paul says, no, it doesn't, because they're both right. They're both okay. So then we mentioned the first two things that in last week's lesson. We got through the first two. But there's nothing wrong with one Christian believing he may eat meat and another believing he cannot. But you sometimes wonder, how does this become a problem? And it usually becomes a problem when one brother wants to bind his belief on the other and says, I'm all right, you're all wrong because you disagree with me. So Paul says, well, let's spend the rest of this chapter talking about that. So he places some information before them. The meat, the one who eats meat and the one who does not. He's going to mention about the observing of days in a certain way. And then also, what about eating the meat that's been left over from the idol worship? So people had different opinions on those three particular issues. I always heard someone say, didn't have this written down, but opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone has one. That's the way it is with opinions. You just can't get away from it. So here I just put at least 10. You may find more principles than what I have listed here. But the first two, Paul goes back and forth. He says in verse 3, let not him who eats despise him who does not. Then he says in verses 3 and 4, but let him who does not eat judge him who eats. So he takes it back and forth. Neither one should be judging the other or condemning the other, putting one out of place, making them feel bad, being judgmental. So the strong shouldn't discourage the weak doesn't discourage the strong. Those are the first two principles that Paul lists. So now we're on point number 3 in verse 5. And so this principle is that we need to realize that each one is convinced he's right. You know, if I thought I was wrong in my opinion, I wouldn't hold to it. But I think I'm right. It's an opinion. Remember, we're not talking about doctrinal issues. We don't have an opinion on that, except we need to follow that, follow truth. But on things that are not settled, we can have an opinion about it. And you have one, I have one. Verse 5 reads it this way. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. Right. So when I think about my opinion on that, I'm fully persuaded that I'm right. But I need to take the other person into consideration. It's interesting. We seldom see another person's point of view exactly as they see it. That's why we argue. You have an opinion and I don't quite see it that way. I don't understand how you can see it that way. See? So all of a sudden now there's a point of contention. And Paul says that's not what it should be. That person over there is fully persuaded in his mind on his opinion. I'm fully persuaded in my point of view. So we all have our reasons for believing what we believe. And even if I can't see why this person over here believes what he believes, I still need to recognize that he or she is fully convinced about their opinion. And that should help us in dealing with our differences. Now, these things are not over sound doctrine. We can't treat the opposing view lightly, and I don't want to tread on the other person's convictions on his opinion. Paul adds a second illustration besides eating meat and not eating meat about observing days. The strong and the weak, both of us have to submit that the first day of the week is the Lord's day. Both of us have to submit and agree that we worship on the Lord's day. We don't get an opinion on that. That's sound doctrine. We worship on the first day of the week. I cannot vote that we can substitute Saturday night for the first day of the week. Now, some religions do that. They have a Saturday night service so you don't have to get up early on Sunday morning and come to the assembly. If you didn't know why some people have a Saturday night service. But it's okay. One person esteemed one day above another. That's in the verse, verse 5. That's okay. Another esteems every day alike. So if we want to have Bible class, or I feel we should have a Bible study, or I need to worship every day of the week, that's fine. But I can't eliminate the first day of the week. I cannot do that. That's sound doctrine. Now, I hope you understand that illustration. So I'm fully persuaded in my mind, and he's persuaded in his mind. We need to leave it there and not make an issue out of it with our brother. It's an opinion. The fourth principle is in verses 6 through 12. I'm not going to read those, all those verses that we did that. I did that in the first lesson. If you can open your Bibles and read that, but I'm going to key on verse 6. We need to realize that each belief is based upon your relationship with God. Here's how the verse reads. Verse 6. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. Yep. He that does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. And then he takes it back to the illustration of eating. So I need to realize that each person's belief is based upon his relationship to the Lord. I observe it. And he said, when I observe this day, I observe it to the Lord. Well, I don't observe this day, and I don't observe it to the Lord. Which one's right? Both. It's an opinion, how you observe the days, but not the first day of the week. So remember, the strong and the weak are equally concerned about the right thing and doing God's will. That's in the verse 6 of this, verses 6 through 12. There's some individual responsibility that's noted. Verse 10 says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 12, each shall give account of himself to God. So I'm going to give myself my account to God on how my opinion on not observing every day alike. This morning, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm based upon my opinion that I think this day should be observed to God. That's going back to verse 6. He observes the day, he observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day does not observe it to the Lord. Both are right. That's the biblical, that's the principle. Realize that each person's belief is based on his relationship to the Lord. Number 5, in your notes, is verse 13. Don't put a stumbling block in your brother's way, whether you're strong or weak. It goes both ways. Verse 13. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore. Don't judge. The weak doesn't judge the strong. The strong doesn't judge the weak. So verse 13, let's not judge anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in the brother's way. Oh. Concerning one another, going back to verse 7, none of us live to themselves, none die to themselves. So in my opinions, I need to take consideration of the other person and their opinion, especially if it disagrees with mine. And when I observe my opinion, I don't want to make that a cause for stumbling in their way or cause them to fall because of what I think or my opinion. We're to be cautious in our treatment of one another. A stumbling block, you know, meaning you're causing one to trip or to fall in their progress. You cause them to stumble on their journey. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 8. He says, food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better. If we don't eat, are we the worse. Oh, but beware, the next phrase, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours, oh, I have liberty in this, in my opinion, but beware, you know, cautious, that this liberty of yours does not become a stumbling block to the other. Okay. So if I have a reckless demand of my freedom, I have this right. I don't want it to become a stumbling block or cause another to fall. But I'm fully convinced. He's fully convinced too. Who's right? Both of us are right. Both of us are okay with God. So don't put a stumbling block or cause to fall in your brother's way. Number 6, verse 15. Walk in love or walk in charity. Another biblical principle of how do we get along when we don't see things exactly alike. Verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, my opinion that I can eat meat. He doesn't eat meat. If that's the occasion, if that's what he hasn't learned, that we can both get along. So if my eating meat grieves him, you're no longer walking in love. Don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Boy, there's a principle, isn't it? Don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. In other words, loving one another, that's the motivation for all of our actions. Remember, Jesus gave his life for those who have an opposing point of view. He gave his life for those who eat meat and those who don't eat meat. Even if we think that his position is not reasonable, I don't want to destroy a fellowship over the matter of food. Meat versus vegetables. So the context of Paul's discussion is over matters that don't carry eternal consequences. But I don't want to let my liberty and my strong opinion, my faith in this, I'm fully convinced that on my point of view, I don't want to destroy him over my food. So we all of us know private convictions that we have that are not matters of salvation. What about the times we meet? Not every fellowship or every congregation meets. We have Bible study at 9:30 and worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Brethren across the freeway meet at 9 o'clock and 10. Which one of us are right? We're both okay.
We are.
What about the order of worship? No. Two songs? What if Dennis decides to sing 3 songs before opening prayer on Sunday morning? Is that okay? Or what if we, as Ron McMurray did last Lord's Day morning, said, let's stand for the first song. We don't usually stand for the first song. We stay seated. Is it okay that we stood for the first song? Well, that was his opinion. We need to stand for this song. Stand up. What about a coat and tie for those who lead in the worship assembly for the morning assembly? Some people think, oh, you can't do that. I mean, you should have a coat and tie. You lead in worship. Not every congregation does that. I have a strong opinion on that. I have reasons for my belief in that we need to dress a little better, you know, in presentation and standing before a group and leading you in worship. You know, there's biblical principles that would establish my opinion for that. Giving the best that we have, you know, first things first. So, but I'm not going to make it a law where there is none. Someone comes and doesn't have a coat and tie, they're leading me in worship, I'm still going to be led in worship. I may want to say something to them afterwards. yo, this is what I think, my opinion. Brethren certainly have other issues. You know, some brethren have just one cup in their assembly, and they serve the Lord's Supper. Some have classes, and some don't have classes. In some congregations, if they have a class, everybody... all ages meet in just one assembly. What about eating in the church building? We have brethren that won't do that. They have a drinking fountain. Well, I'm sorry, I'm getting off on my reasoning here, on my presentation. But yeah, we can't eat in the church building, but it's okay to sip water. What about which Bible to use? I heard of a congregation that where the leadership said, we're only going to use the King James Version. Are they okay?
They're wrong, but
they have that opinion, don't they?
But it's okay.
You know, in that particular illustration, the leadership made that decision, and the congregation were obligated to follow. Even though some in that congregation may have thought, you know, I can use the New King James, or I can use one of these others. But the leadership just made that decision. We're only going to use the King James Version. What about supporting missionaries? What if we put a stained glass in our windows?
It'd be beautiful.
See, there's opinion. Be beautiful. What about the use of the building? Oh. What can we use? What are different things we can use our building for? Well, we have funeral assemblies, don't we? We have wedding assemblies. There's different uses for our building. We don't have a rock concert. But there's different uses for the building. And some may have varying issues or phrases on that. What about a picture above the baptistry? And I only use that illustration because there used to be someone that didn't want a picture. So you ever wonder why the curtains are closed? Because there's a picture behind the baptistry. And that person didn't think that we should have a picture behind the baptistry. About a cross or a steeple on the church building. Well, a lot of things to have opinions about, aren't there? What about the women wearing hats?
Oh, no.
Well, I hear you. Now I quit preaching and gone to meddling. Oh, man. What about the words that are said when someone is baptized? And what if the preacher doesn't raise his hand when he gives the words before someone is baptized? That was standard procedure when I was a youngster. Had to raise his hand. I mentioned last week, what about having just a closing hymn for our dismissal and not a prayer? It's the Bible, Matthew chapter 26, at the end of the conclusion of the Lord's, issued the Lord's Supper, Jesus said they sung a hymn and went out. They dismissed, just sang a hymn and left. They didn't have a closing prayer. See, there's a lot of issues, aren't there, that we can, I hope I didn't, probably think, I never thought of that. Yeah. So, Lord, our love in this lesson, point number 6, helps us in dealing with clashes of our private convictions. So, love helps us to maintain peace. Love helps us to be mature in our faith and to lay aside our opinions if they disrupt, cause division, or heartache, or a brother to stumble. So Paul is giving all of these illustrations on how to maintain fellowship with those who have a differing opinion. And he says in those first 2 verses, both of us need to get along. The strong needs to receive the weak needs to receive the strong. I know next Sunday evening, our first Sunday singing, but I'll just go ahead and we'll have some songs and I'll just give a closing remark. I can't have that opinion. I'm going to have an opinion on that we can do that. So keep your notes, if you will. Please. If you have an opinion, you should keep your notes. But I can live with that. Always at the close of a lesson, we song of encouragement. Song of invitation, I use another word, song of exhortation. Those of you who have not been baptized, we give you that opportunity. And as Peter did in Acts 2, verse 40, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. He already said in verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then he pleaded. He gave extra words. I wish I had the notes on what those extra words were. Because the response was, those that gladly received his word were baptized. What did you say? I want the words of the gospel to be received and obeyed. So that's the invitation we extend. Repent and be baptized. If you haven't done that already, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply let that be known at the close of the song. So let's stand. Dennis will lead us in this hymn.